We have been very spoiled. Our stages, our radio airwaves, playlists, TV screens and award nights for close to 40 years, they have had 20 ARIA top 40 singles in Australia and international success, especially in Germany, UK, Norway and New Zealand. Now they've just announced a brand new chapter in their amazing story. On the phone with me today to share the news is Andrew Greedy Smith from Mental As Anything. Welcome to Joy 94.9, Greedy.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, I'll take you back to the early days, 12 albums between 1979 and 2009, that distinctive sound of soul and rock. You formed back in 1976 at an art school in Sydney. What's it like for you, Greedy, looking back on such a stellar career?
It's amazing that we still play, that people still know our songs. And I think back to the person, I mean, my son's 17 and he's doing his last year of high school, and I think, you know, what I was doing with his age, it wasn't very long from that time to being in a band, and now I'm an old bloke, and I think it's quite amazing that collaboration that started back then is something that we still talk about today, that I'm talking to you about, which is amazing.
It is amazing, because I have looked back in time, and the discography list goes on, and it's an amazing. You've made a guest appearance with the band on harmonica whilst you were still with another band. Tell us what happened there.
Oh, no, we all had different bands, but I was brought along to play with a few guys who were putting a band together at the art school and playing the harmonica a bit, and then with Martin and Reg Mombasa, who was in the band back then, and Martin Plaza, and I came and played a bit of harmonica with them, and then after a while they sort of said, oh, you know, look, if you're going to be in a band, we just don't want the harmonica's nice, we don't want it every song, you're going to have to play the organ. So I went out and bought it, and I sold a second-hand organ and sort of learnt to play on the job from that, you know, just sort of try and get, muddle my way through what was needed.
Yeah, well, you're well known for your catalogue of hit singles, and you hit the Aussie charts with covers of songs from Roy Orbison, Elvis and Chuck Berry. What did you go with those legends?
Well, the Chuck Berry song was not our idea. That was to provide the music for Yahoo Sirius's character in Young Einstein, the film. And that's a later one. That's probably a last big chart topper back in the 90s. He needed the song for his character to mime to. So we provided the music. So that was so Yahoo very nicely asked us.
Yeah.
And Elvis, we have Elvis. I mean, the band. We say the band really dates from the our longest continuous lineup went from the day after Elvis died in 1977. So there's a big connection with Elvis, because even before then we were doing Elvis songs and doing three or four Elvis songs, and so there's always been a big connection there. Martin fancies himself as a bit of an Elvis, and the same with Roy Orbison. So,
yeah.
So we do a bit of that, and we started writing our own songs pretty well early on, and we had four songwriters in the band, and we happened to get to the record company these guys just wanted to start a record label, and they chose us because they thought we were a bit boppy and they liked our original songs, and so because of that they really promoted us. Even though we put out albums, they really liked the idea of putting out singles every few months.
Yeah, because I did read that somewhere, Greedy. It was your first performance with the new lineup at Sydney's Cell Block Theatre on August the 17th, which was the day news broke of Elvis's death, and you sort of changed things around on your set list to pay homage, which was a fantastic idea.
Oh, yeah, we did a few more. Martin painted a big backdrop of a big painting of Elvis to put up on the day, and it was a solemn moment. It's interesting enough that was in Sydney. At the Cell Block Theatre, we also, from talking to guys in different bands, we worked out that In Excess did their first show under the name of In Excess that night, somewhere in the Northern Beaches area of Sydney. And also Midnight Oil did their first show under the name of Midnight Oil that night too. We're talking to Rob Hurst, the drummer. And so there's a lot happened that Friday night.
Wow, there's some amazing names in there, Greedy.
But it was just that the guys that we sort of tend to play with over the years, and so it wasn't until much later, it was probably wasn't until more than 20 years after it happened that we realised that on the same night.
You celebrated 20 years together in 1997. Now, you put together your third group art exhibition, which is called Mental Three, which was opened by the former Prime Minister, Gough Whitlam. What words of wisdom did Gough have for you?
He had interesting words of wisdom. He mainly used it as an opportunity to bag out an old political adversary. He was a former band manager, a guy called Philip Smiles, who managed my neighbour's, where I'm living now. My neighbour was in a band back in the 60s, and this guy used to manage him. It's so funny. But speaking of band managers, because that was the third group Mentals exhibition, the second exhibition was opened by Paul Keating,
yes,
who famously managed a band called the Ramrod. I remember it, and he spoke, when he opened our exhibition, he was speaking all about managing the band, the Ramrod. So it was quite funny. But yeah, we did a lot of had a lot of that sort of activity, because at that stage we're all doing a fair bit of art at the time. I don't know how we had the time, but it's interesting. You know, like the two brothers in the band, Peter O'Doherty and his big brother Reg Mombassa, they left the band in about 2000 because they were just concentrating full time on their art.
Now,
Reg had done Mambo stuff. He's famous that day. He did a lot of work for the closing ceremony of the Olympic Games in Sydney. He did. Designed a lot of stuff for that, so he was a bit busy for that. And his little brother Pete, he's the only one of us who didn't go to art school. He went off and he's gone off and had a very successful career.
You performed three songs in 1985's Oz for Africa concert, which was part of the Global Live Aid program. Tell us a little bit about the buzz around that performance. Did Molly Meldrum put you up to that?
No, I don't know if it's Molly. I'm not sure what. How that happened, we ended up. I know that we were the first band on it in the world. I knew that we were the because they had televised it in all of the areas where it was going around the world. That they had a sort of like a television link up, and we were the first band on in the Live Aid event. It was a global thing, and all I remember is that somebody lost my radio mic in the cab, because we did three shows in Sydney. And then raced and got on a plane and flew down and played the Pier Hotel at Frankston.
Oh, wow.
On stage at about 9 o'clock. So or 10 o'clock, I think it was. It's a bit of a mad dash. So all I can remember is that there was a lot of kerfuffle. It's a big deal.
Yes, it is
a
big deal.
But I think now, I just did an interview recently, the guy in America talking about the history of that putting together, because I think it's been a while, so it was just this, it was 30 years ago. Was it 85 or 86?
Yeah, 1985, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in 2009 as well was a big moment for you. It saw Mental as Anything recognised at the ARIA Awards with the induction into the ARIA Hall of Fame. Take us through that moment, Greedy. What was it like for you and the group?
Oh, it was interesting because we're a bit sort of shell-shocked by the whole thing, and we had a couple of our original members up there. Reg and Pete came back into the band for the thing. We're going to play on the stage, and then all of a sudden our gear didn't work.
Oh.
First band on, everything, the gear wouldn't work. We're being introduced by Alice Cooper in his tarantula suit. Oh, it was a very emotional time. But I guess the wash-up of it was, it's nice to be, it's really lovely to be considered, you know, and be amongst your peers, particularly we're being inducted with the band The Dingoes, Broderick Smith and also Little Patty. We used to do one of her songs, Stompin' at Maroubra. So
yes.
It was cute, and that seems like so many years ago now.
Well, you're in good company there, Greedy, because I read somewhere that a quote that says, "I love Mental as Anything. They have a great bunch of writers and a great bunch of singers all in one band, and they just make great music." And that was from the legendary Chris Isaak.
Oh, Chris Isaak, yeah.
Yes. What do you say to that?
Oh, he's a good bloke. Chris is a good bloke. You know, he first came to see us we did a show in, we're playing in L.A., and it was about 1982. He's been around. He's, you know, I mean, he's a pretty good Nick, but he's our age. he, uh, No, and he's good, and he really liked it. But for years and years, we've toured with him a bit, but for years and years, we thought he loved Martin's voice because he loves Roy Orbison. He loves anybody who can sound a bit like Roy Orbison, and Martin can do that. So, and he loves his voice, but he's been very gracious. And that last comment, he said lots of good things. He didn't realise that I sing too. So it's worked out quite well. Chris is one of those guys who he knows his music, and he really, you know, it's like working with Elvis Costello. We learned a lot from him about. He's somebody who is very talented and all that, but he spends so much time listening to other music, and he just soaks it up like a sponge. He's great. So he's so into the music. So that I think that's a really good thing. So the young people today, because it's pretty hard making a living out of musicians today, I think, coming on. But if you're going to do it, you've really got to enjoy it.
Now, Greedy, I'm going to fast forward to 2009. You appeared live in Sydney with a digital download EP in the iTunes Live from Sydney Aussie Legends. How have you guys adapted to the digital evolution and social media? Because it's come a long way since you've been around.
Well, social media's been around for about the last 5 minutes. but I must say, in terms of, like, you can talk about digital anything, we started off. We just made vinyl records onto an analog machine, mastered onto analog tape, and then it suddenly changed to being all that the same stuff that mastered onto digital tape, and everything sounded different. And then we've gone through CDs and downloads, but we still get people ringing us up and asking us if we have any cassettes left, any cassette tapes.
Well, yes, I do. Actually have some cassette tapes. I've actually got the vinyl. I've still got the original vinyl at home.
Well, they're doing pretty well. But I mean, there's a thing. So we've had to go through all of this. So now this whole thing gets a bit confusing because, we'll discuss, you know, we've decided to put out a single every 5 months.
Yes.
For as long as we live. That's what we decided. not albums, we're just singles. And I went to the record company, Universal, and I said, look, we'd like to put out some singles, you know, to press up some CD singles. And I said, oh, you won't be doing that. And I said, what are you talking about? Oh, the shops don't sell them anymore. Oh. But we thought, we'll do it. We'll get some made. And so we sell them off our site, and it shows if we've got them. Oh, that's reminded me of something. But, that's a whole new thing, the idea of downloading. And then streaming.
Yes.
Oh, streaming makes it very tricky.
Much opportunities out there, Greedy. Well, all of the early members of the group are visual artists. Now, art school, a bit of an art school background and all that visual design made Mental as Anything the pioneers of music video form here in Australia in the 70s and 80s. Now, your videos, I reckon, rank as some of the funniest and most imaginative produced here in Australia of its time. How did you come up with the concept and ideas for your music videos?
We had a lot of people who had gone through the art school who were interested in these kinds of things as well. Our manager had come from worked in video too in Italy, doing clips for bands like Sun Ra, the avant-garde jazz outfit, and also Split Enz. And so we weren't the first, but there was we were part of that scene where there were, at the time, a lot of people interested in getting into making the videos. So it was a combination of, it was a very creative thing, and a time for a lot of people, a lot of acts. I remember in 1982 getting asked, first trip there to Los Angeles, and getting in asked if we'd done any clips and stuff. Oh, by that stage, we'd done about 18 or something. They thought it was new. Clips were very important in Australia early because that's the way that the record companies overseas could get their acts on television in Australia, and they'd a lot cheaper than putting the band on the plane to come over here. So we did the same thing to get our stuff shown overseas. Yeah, it was just a really important thing to do. I mean, the band used to really get sick of it actually because of the really long days. Doing film clips is a lot harder than recording or performing live. It's probably the hardest part of the time. But we did our fair share.
Well, you have put in a lot of energy into those videos because it does show, and you are the envy of any artist, I reckon. Top 10 Aussie singles featuring If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too, which is from 1981, Too Many Times, also in 1981, and Rock and Roll Music, one of my personal faves, from 1988, recorded for the Yahoo Serious movie Young Einstein, as you mentioned. Yeah. It went top 5 on the ARIA singles charts.
Was that 88? I think it was after 88, wasn't it?
It
must have been after. I just can't remember.
Too long ago.
You'd know. You're a young person. It's all a bit grey for me. It's funny because we're doing re-releases at the new company in the for the UK and Europe.
Yeah.
And they ask me some hard questions. Like, I better Wikipedia that one.
Yeah. Well, I remember that era in music being, I think I was in about grade 6 or grade 5 at the time. Now, I do want to mention my favourite all-time Mental as Anything track, Live It Up, from 1985, number 2 here in Australia. It went top 10 in the UK and Norway and Germany. Featured in the 1986 Australian film Crocodile Dundee. How did that come about, Greedy?
I wrote the song driving along in the back of a bus after the show. We were in Calgary or Edmonton, I think, Edmonton in Canada. We were just about really going to drive the whole along overnight across Canada to Winnipeg in central Canada, and I knew I was in for a bit of a boring time, so the mind wanders, and I wrote the song pretty much in about half an hour.
Oh, wow.
In my head, but then it took 2 years to get it right, and then I got it right just about 3 days before the producer that we brought in from America to record that Fundamental album. I just sort of worked out how to do it. We borrowed this drum machine. Well, I didn't borrow it, actually. I bought it from Harry Vander and George Young. It was the first Lynn drum in Australia. And I ended up getting this thing, and I was able to sort out a couple of problems with the song. And it went, it was good. It's funny, it turned up in Crocodile Dundee. It's a bit of an afterthought because I was asked to write some music for Crocodile Dundee, and there's an instrumental song that actually features in there called Sloppy Croc, and I wrote that, and then that was a bit of funny. It was a bit of umming and ahhing about which instruments would play what. Paul Hogan wanted this and this one, and then he said, no, go back to how it before. So I'd done my recording of it, and then I was phoning in the work from Amsterdam, I think. He said, no, Hanks, before he wanted more like Cold Chisel, but now he wants that more circusy like you had it before. And at the end of the film, when they were just doing the final cut of the film, they needed a bit of music in a party scene, and at the time, Live It Up had been a big hit in Australia. It was on the radio all the time, and Hanks really liked it. He said, oh, let's stick this in there. It's a good, happy feel. So, and the funny thing about that was that when the song had been a hit in Australia, we'd taken it over to Europe, but nobody had played it, nobody was interested in it. And then Crocodile Dundee comes along, the film comes along, and then somebody in our English company said, oh, why don't we do this? Because it was just a bit of background music, and he approached Paul Hogan about using the Crocodile Dundee poster as a little cover for the single bag that went to radio. And they saw that, they all played it, so it was a big hit over there.
Did you catch up with Paul Hogan, Greedy?
No, I've never met him. I've passed on my thanks to him, but I've never actually met him. But it's interesting that in the UK, Live It Up got to number 3 there, and it was kept out of the top spot by 2 songs that were reissues of cover versions. One was for a jeans commercial. Well, that was the 80s. That's when the ads were topping the charts. Yeah. I mean, it was a Boy George cover.
We are going to play that classic track, Live It Up, from Mental as Anything. We're chatting to Greedy, the vocalist from Mental as Anything. Let's have a listen to the classic, Live It Up.
That you
Next year's a big one for Mental as Anything. 2017 is your 40th anniversary. You're closing in on that. You're back with a new single out. It's called Shake Off Your Sandals. Tell us a little bit about the new single, Greedy.
Well, this is exciting. We've teamed up with Steve Jones, who produced rock and roll music for us for the Young Irons. But actually, he was brought into the contact, brought into the country by Yahoo Serious. And I just, he had the Young Einstein film. And Steve told me this story, because Steve was working in this chapels in England, and they were doing the music. He also did the record, all the music for the Ruffles film, which is a famous sort of like send-up of the Beatles. And apart from that, he also recorded the Monty Python music. He did a lot of the recording, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
I know that one.
And the music for The Life of Brian and the other ones from The Meaning of Life. He has that history. He found Yahoo just wandering around at Chapel Studios and said, hey, come in and have a sing. He had such a good time. And so when he was making Young Einstein, he said, oh, I know that guy's really good. So he brought Steve into the country. Steve, he's the son of Sid James, star of all the Carry On movies. Back in there, before your time, but a great comedian. And Steve's been in country ever since. He's been doing big hits for Screaming Jets and quite a few people. We're back working with him. And so we've done first song, Shake Off Your Sandals and Come Back to Bed. That's the first one of the new policy. I said to Martin, look, Martin and I are the original songwriters. I thought, Martin says, I've got all these songs and I think about putting a solo album out. I said, you don't do any promotion, nothing. And you're just going to do it at home. We're going to do these songs properly.
Yeah.
We'll record them properly. We'll just go one at a time every 5 months. Because, that's what used to be all during the 80s. We have a song out every 4 or 5 months.
We
have a song come out.
Yep,
and I asked our old manager about it, the original manager. Said, why do we do that? He said, oh, we needed a song because we're for touring, Said, but we were touring all the time. We're doing about 280 shows a year. Yeah, that's right. So I thought, that's what we're going to do. So we've been going. We've recorded. That one's recorded. Now, that's called Shake Off Your Sandal. The second song is a song written by Martin, which is called Goat Tracks in My Sand Pit. That comes out in April. That's sort of like a bit of a hillbilly thing. That's pretty funny.
I love the titles on them.
Goat Tracks on the Soundtrack. And then the third one. We've got to work out which one's going to be the third one. Because we're going to alternate. One of my songs, then one of Martin's, one of mine, one of mine. But the band plays on them, but we're just alternating songwriters. Oh, the things we used to get up to in Melbourne. Gee, the bands we used to hang out with.
Yeah.
I remember once I was hosting Countdown, guest host Countdown, and we always stay at Macy's in South Yarra. It was the old Her Majesty's in South Yarra. A lot of bands would stay upstairs. And I remember because I'd done I'd done the show, it was a Sunday. Anyway, this band called The Tourists were playing downstairs in the thing, in it, but there weren't probably only about 50 or 60 people, and they weren't really getting into it. They thought sort of not that good. Anyway, they came off the stage, and the singer, she couldn't, she had trouble. They were going to do, they said they were going to do their short sets, they're going to do a bigger encore. They just wanted to get the vibe up. And the singer, she jumped up, and it was a weird thing. It was a big step up out of the kitchen, and she bounded up, and she banged her head and knocked herself completely out. And I had to go, and the tour manager, Neil McKay, says, "Gree, quick, go and get a doctor." It was Annie Lennox.
Oh, no.
It was a terrific. It's like, and they carried it upstairs to the pool room where everyone had hanging out. Fortunately, they got it to come to and carry it out before most of the other bands got back from their shows, which was about 10 o'clock.
Amazing history you've got. It's magnificent.
Little stories.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned touring because you have toured continuously for about 38 years, if I worked it out correctly, Greedy,
right.
With absolutely no plans of stopping. You've got a very comprehensive tour schedule most weekends of the calendar. You're going to be here local. You're playing local gigs here in Melbourne. What can we expect from the show? What's on the set list?
Well, I must say, first of all, I've got to say that the caliber of the band is absolutely at its peak at the moment. We have a pretty amazing lineup. We've got Martin Cilia on guitar, who was who played with the Atlantics for 15 years. That's the band that was famous with a worldwide hit, Bombora, really famous, one of the two most famous surf songs of all time. He played with them for 15 years, but also played in bands over in Western Australia before that, like Dave Warner's from the Suburbs, and he's a great player. But we've got a young drummer called Jacob Cook. He's got five kids, so you know he needs the work. He's played with a lot of overseas acts, and it's pretty, you know, he's really sharp. He's the best drummer I've ever played with. And we've added to the stable, to the band, a guy that we met with back in the early 80s. He was in Mondo Rock for years, and since then he's gone on to play with Casey Chambers and Jimmy Barnes. His name, James Gillard.
Wow.
And he's a terrific musician, a great singer. And we're having a ball. We had a really big one at Beau Morris.
Yep.
On the weekend. It was just a good one, and everybody was into it. And I tell you what, I'm enjoying playing more now than ever before. Mind you, you know, the longest break we've ever had from touring in all that time was 6 weeks. Started 1990 because I fell off a horse and I was really badly broken up. That's the longest break we've had. If you're going to keep doing it, you really want to make sure that you enjoy it. And I enjoy it a lot.
Well, it's great to see, Greedy, to see you. You know, continuing on with the touring duties. Now, for all of our listeners, if you want to head down to those shows, they're in town. They're playing a show tomorrow, Friday the 19th of February at Memo Music Hall in St Kilda. And then on Saturday in Warragul at Rock in the Park, Sunday in Meredith at the Royal Hotel, and Musicland in Faulkner on February 26th. And they also head over to Toon Gabby and Lilyfield and Canterbury in New South Wales in April. So they're going to be right here local, playing local gigs in Melbourne. Now, also the mentals.com.au is where you can head if you want to catch up with all of the news, information, and also where you can grab a copy of their latest work. Five of the Mentals' most cherished albums have also been reissued in a five-album set. They're absolute collector's items, those ones. So it's mentals.com.au and facebook.com/mentalsofficial, and they are also on Twitter at mentalsofficial and Instagram at mentalsofficial. Greedy, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you here today on Joy 94.9. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Brian. You've been so thorough. It's great. It's been great to get cover some of those areas that I don't always cover. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome.
Eyes. and not to grow that I should.